us to forget how carefully God watches over us. And it's easy for us to forget that sometimes when things go the exact opposite of the way we wanted them to go, that God had a better way. Sometimes we pray for things and we pray fervently that God would do it that way. And God does it that way instead. And we think maybe he doesn't answer our prayers. No, God hears our prayers, but he knows better than we do what needs to be done. There's a tight connection. You wouldn't see it at first glance, but I think I can show it to you tonight rather easily, actually. There's a tight connection between Numbers chapter 2 and the book of Genesis. Understanding that the 12 tribes of Israel are the sons of Jacob. And I want to refresh our memory by looking at what happens here in Genesis chapter 29. And so I'm going to read that passage and we'll have a word of prayer. And then we'll go back over and look at Numbers chapter 2. And let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm just going to read starting in verse 15, and then we'll go down towards the end of the chapter in Genesis chapter 29. The Bible says, Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. In other words, we have a deal. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, remember that name, we'll talk about that in a minute, Zilpah his maid for and handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he, that's Jacob, said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. He should have mentioned that earlier, shouldn't he? Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the folks that are here tonight. And Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you for the many members of our church that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But Father, we are always burdened for folks that seem to have trouble being faithful or that perhaps need to make church more important than they do. We pray for them, God, that you'd raise them up. Pray for folks that are ill and cannot be here tonight. But we pray for each one that is here. God, without you, I can do nothing. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this time we spend in the Word of God. Make it useful to us. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you watch over us even when we don't realize it. Thank you that you have an eternal plan and you include us in that plan in ways that are marvelous. And you do things in our life that are marvelous that we don't understand. But thank you. And we just pray you would help us to see some of these things tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I anticipate that if you had walked into Jacob's tent the morning after he was defrauded, and that's what happened, Laban lied to him. Laban, I don't know if he contrived this plan on day one or if it came to him later, but he did not do what he promised he would do. And I'm sure if you'd have walked into Jacob's tent the next day and asked him how he felt about that, he would have not been happy, as we would say, to put it mildly. He had worked 7 years, expected to have Rachel for his wife, and now he's been defrauded, and he's got to wait 7 more years before he marries Rachel. Now, perhaps you and I, in our lives, we have things like that that happen to us, to where we wanted something, we saw it looked reasonable to us, and we asked God for it, we anticipated receiving it, and then God gave us something else instead. God never defrauds us, amen? But I want you to know something. This was God's plan. This was God's plan. You trust God? You say, well, Pastor, I trust him, but sometimes I don't understand. That's okay, just trust him. Now, let me take you over to Numbers chapter 2, and let me show you some things here in Numbers chapter 2 that will make this maybe more clear. Like chapter 1, we could not get the maximum benefit by reading every word in the chapter. I encourage you to read it at home. I've studied it and studied it this week, but I'm going to show you the structure of the chapter. It has a structure just like chapter 1 had. The census, the counting of the army, was seen in Numbers chapter 1. Now, in Numbers chapter 2, we have, the right way to say it is, the order of march. Now, just so you'll understand, and I'll go through this with you in a minute, but the 12 tribes had become 13. Even that was God's working. How did that happen? Well, Joseph had 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And God gave both of them the status of a tribe. And that was convenient because Levi, the tribe of Levi, was pulled out from the others and given the care of the tabernacle. And so now if we're going to have an orderly camp, and it's going to be an evenly divided camp, it's not numerically, but it is tribe-wise, we need another tribe. And so you've got 3 tribes, 3 tribes, 3 tribes, 3 tribes, and Levi. And then 2 of those 12 are Ephraim and Manasseh. I'll also show you that in just a minute. But in chapter 2 is the order of march. And so what you'll see here, and as I read some of it to you, you'll notice this. They're organized around the tabernacle. The tabernacle is in the middle. The Levites are there. We're going to see a lot more about them in the coming chapters, their responsibilities. And they were divided up amongst families and had various tasks. But outside of that, on the east side of the camp, there were 3 tribes. They marched first. And those 3 tribes had 1 standard, like a flag or a symbol or a guide on, if you will. And the standard of the tribes on the east was the standard of Judah. That's very pertinent and relevant, and I'll show you why. And you remember now, here's the tabernacle. So on the east is Judah. Then there were 3 more tribes, and they were on the south. So the tabernacle's here, Judah's there. Here's 3 more tribes. And then there were 3 more tribes right here on the west. And then there were 3 tribes on the north. And they were the ones that brought up the rear. The tribes that were on the east would be the first ones to march. And then they'd be followed by the ones in the south. So these fellows in the front go all the way around, so to speak, and they bring up the rear. And as you see the order of this, and by the way, God, I don't know exactly why, but I know this, God had a reason for recording this the way he did. And you say, Pastor, this is kind of tedious. There is an order and an organization here which is tremendous. And you can see it, just like chapter 1 had a very specific order, so does chapter 2. And we'll see that order as we continue. And just remember, God is not organizing them to be defeated. He's not organizing them to quit. He's organizing them to win the battle. And I mentioned that last week. God, his plan for us is that we would win the battle. It's when we don't do things his way, particularly when we don't believe him, that's when victory cannot be had. I'd ask everyone here, we should ask ourselves the question, do you believe God? Oh, it's easy to say yes. Do you believe God when the bills are 1,000 and the bank account is 100? Do you believe God when the work is 10 hours and the time allowed is 5? Do you believe God when you talk about the Lord and people are angry with you and tell you to be quiet. We believe God all the time, amen? In the easy times and the hard times. So watch this. Let me show you the structure here, and I'll just tell you about chapter 2. First of all, verses 1 and 2 just introduce us to the chapter. I'll read them to you in just a minute. Then there's the first rank, that first group of three tribes, and these are the tribes on the east side. And I'm going to read that entire section in verses 3 through 9, and then I'm going to stop right there, and I'll just paraphrase what happens on the south side, the second rank, on the west side, which is the third rank, and on the north side, which is the fourth rank, and then we'll read verses 32 through 34. So just bear with me here, but let's read some of this if we could, and I'll start in Numbers chapter 2 and verse 1. The census has been completed now, and so in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Far off, about the tabernacle of the congregation, shall they pitch. Okay, let's stop for a minute. First of all, just a couple of thoughts. God's the one that establishes the order, and everyone is subject to that. Someone might say, you know, I really don't want to camp over here with Judah. I got a lot of friends down there in the camp in the south. I'd like to camp down there. No, God says, I have a place for all of you. Amen? And God does have a place for all of us. And the question is, not can we be happy in our place? You ought to be happy because God put you there, but let's be in our place. You hear the pastor say sometimes, be in your place on Sunday. Our place on Sunday ought to be in church, amen? There's a place for everybody, and God picked that place, and they are organized around the congregation according to their tribes. Now, this is the thing that's interesting, and that is, and I'll read this to you and then I'll tell you, but what I showed you back in Genesis is very relevant here, and let me just read a little and I'll explain that to you. Look at verse 3. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, that's why I picked over here, by the way, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be the captain of the children of Judah. Oh, I got to stop right there and remind you of something. Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and it goes on and it says, and Nahson begat Salmon. It says, Amminadab begat Nahson that begat Salmon. Right here in Numbers chapter 2 and verse 3, if you weren't looking, you wouldn't see it, but that's the line of Christ. That's the genealogy of the Messiah. And you can study those fellows, and you can see, interestingly, and we talked about this at Christmas time, as you move along through that genealogy, you see some interesting people like Ruth, like you see Rahab, the harlot, the one that was on the wall there at Jericho. And they're in the line of Christ. But this is just a little reminder right here, and it jumps out at you if you remember that genealogy. Judah is the standard in the front. Now, there are two more tribes we're going to see about here, but Judah is the standard. They follow in Judah's steps, if you will, but Judah is the identification of this first rank. So let's keep going. Verse 4, and his host, he talked about the captain of the children of Judah, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 64,600. So 74,600 in that group. And those that do pitch next unto him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nethaneel, the son of Zuar, shall be captain of the children of Issachar and his host. And those that were numbered thereof were 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun. And Eliab, the son of Helon, shall be captain of the children of Zebulun and his host. And those that were numbered thereof were 57,400. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah, including Issachar and Zebulun, were 100,000 and 84,600 and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. That's the first rank. They're first in the order of march. And isn't it appropriate that the tribe of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was out front? Now, I used to be in the army, and we used to mechanize infantry, they called us, mechanized. They hadn't got to walk around on a foot all the time. That's the different infantry. But we were mechanized infantry. We had vehicles. We could go fast. And we were mobile. We could get places in. We could keep up with the artillery. If you remember back in World War II, they tried to fight with tanks, and they found out something. You can't send tanks out by themselves because a guy with an anti-tank weapon destroys it. You got to send the infantry with it. So we were the mechanized infantry. We could keep up with the tanks. But when we would move, there was an order of march that was given to us. And we would have a meeting, and all the company commanders and their lieutenants would meet. And they'd say, okay, these guys go first. These guys go second. These guys go third. And there's an order there. And their idea is to have a reserve, you have your best out front. You have the people out front that if you're traveling and you come across the enemy, they encounter them first. And then you have some people, sort of like when they bat in baseball. You know, you put the first two or three guys in the batting order. They're good batters. And then you got the cleanup man, number four. And then you got the weaker guys behind that. That's what you see here. God's organizing them. It's their order of camp and their order of march according to the tribes. And I'm saving this little surprise for you. Just bear with me a little bit. So in the first camp, east side, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And in that camp, there were 186,400. Let me go ahead and show you this. Do you remember how many different women did Jacob have sons by? Anybody know? Four. And who were they? Leah. He had six sons by Leah. And then there was Rachel. He only had two sons by Rachel. It was Benjamin and Judah. And then there were the handmaids. Now, we read about one of them a while ago, Zilpah. She was Leah's handmaid, and he had two sons by her, Gad and Asher. And then there was Bilhah, the other handmaid. She was Rachel's handmaid, and by her he had Dan and Naphtali. So four women that produced those 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. Leah had the most. She had six. Her sons were first Reuben, then Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Now, just not too complicated here, but an interesting thought. Jacob never planned to marry Leah. His plan was, I'm going to marry Rachel. God's plan was, we're going to make a great nation of your sons, and you're going to marry Leah. And he was defrauded. I mean, it was not fair, as they say. But God sure did use it, didn't he? Think of the tribes that Jacob had, the sons Jacob had by Leah. Reuben and Simeon and Levi. Judah, Issachar and Zebulun. Levi, of course, the tribe of the priests. Judah, the tribe of our Savior. And this is interesting now. In the first rank, the three that were on the east that went first, they were all the sons of Leah. They were all three sons of Leah. Judah led first, and then two more sons of Leah. The second rank, we see that in verse 10. The leader of that rank was another son of Leah named Reuben. And then we have the tribe of Simeon in verse 12. And then we have the tribe of Gad in verse 14. And I won't read the numbers or anything. But Simeon was also a son of Leah. But since Levi had been pulled out, we have Gad in verse 14, who is one of the sons of Zilpah. So in the leading rank, there were the three sons of Leah. In the second rank, there are two more sons of Leah, one of them being in charge, Simeon, Reuben. And then we have one of the sons of the handmaids. The third rank is interesting as well. Look at the division here. On the west side over here, listen to the camps. We have Ephraim in verse 18. We have Manasseh in verse 20. We have Benjamin in verse 22. All descended from Rachel. Leah's three sons bring up the front. Another two of her sons and one of the handmaids bring up the rear. And this is Leah's handmaid, by the way, and the middle. And now, just past that, the sons of Rachel. And then finally, and just to finish the order out, we have a fourth rank. And in that fourth rank, we have Dan, verse 25, Naphtali, verse 29, and Asher in verse 27. And that fourth rank on the north side, those were the sons of the handmaids, just the handmaids, Bilhah and Zilpah. They are all three of the men in that group were sons of the handmaids. And the fascinating thing is that way back in Genesis, way back in what we read a while ago in Genesis, when Jacob is finding his wives, God already has the order of march figured out. And it's tied right back into that. The sons of Leah, the sons of the handmaids in the rear, the sons of Rachel there next to that, and then in the middle, that combination group right there. And that, folks, that's not an accident. God did that. You see the order and the planning that God has put into this. So we have these four camps, if you will. That's what God calls them. Ranks is another word. Each of them has a standard. And the divisions of the camp are a result of this organization of Jacob's family. And now those 12 tribes are divided into the four sides. And when they marched, they already he described in verse 9, that group goes first. In verse 16, that group goes second. In verse 24, that group goes third. And then the hindmost is in verse 31, the sons of the handmaids. And God has chosen how they will camp, how they will march. Each of these four groups. And they weren't symmetric in terms of numbers, just in terms of tribes. There were, the biggest group was the first group, and that would make perfect sense. When you face the enemy, you want strength. The other three groups were similar in size. The least of them was the group of Rachel's, but 150,000 in the second and fourth group, and about 100,000 in the third. So let's just look at some simple application here, and we'll be done. First of all, Christ leading. Amen? The tribe of Judah going first. God, when Jacob blessed his sons, he blessed Judah in a special way. When God used the tribes, he used Judah in a special way. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when those tribes marched, Judah led. Judah is the strongest in numbers. It's the first. And when they encamped, it was the one that was on the east, closest to the rising sun. There's some symbolism there. But folks, Christ is our lead. Amen? Christ goes first. We call ourselves followers. He still leads us, doesn't he? And folks, whoever's out front, when we were in the army, the guys out front, they're the first ones to take fire. That what they do largely will determine whether or the entire unit has victory or has defeat. So they have to be the best. And folks, we have a great commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, we ought to live our lives that way, shouldn't we? The Lord Jesus Christ leading us, and he out front. And we should ask ourselves the question, am I following him or am I asking him to follow me? Amen? But he ought to be out front. That's what we see it to begin with. We see the military division, the four camps with the standards. The four standards were Judah, Reuben, Ephraim, and Dan. Again, the sons of Leah, the rest of her sons with Zilpah, the sons of Rachel, and the sons of the handmaids. And Zilpah's sons were split up amongst two of the groups. Bilhah's sons were both in the fourth camp. So there is a military division there. Order is maintained. It was the creation of Joseph splitting up into two tribes that lets us have the symmetry in the camp, allowing the camp to have four tribes on each side. And there again, God provided for that. And he honored Joseph, who was one of the sons of Rachel, for his special service, because Joseph endured some things in Egypt, and he did some things in Egypt that deserved to be recognized, and God did that. And folks, you and I, we may say, well, I want to be out front. I want to be first. You know, that's nice, but if God puts you over here and he wants you to be over there, you can still do great things for him. Amen? There still can be some recognition to be had. And then there is a future assured. This is interesting, and I showed you this. Nahson, the son of Amminadab, is in the line of Christ. Matthew 1:4 says this. Amminadab begat Nahson, Nahson begat Salmon, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, the harlot. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And so already, or still I should say, I guess, we remember that the line of Christ is being promoted here. But then there was a submission that was necessary, and the thought would be this. Wherever you pitched, wherever you were in the camp, God put you there. In our camp, in our church, we've all got a task to do, amen? And different people here do different things. But when it's all said and done, we do what God asks us to do. And if you're not involved in something, you should ask the Lord what he would like to have you be doing. And then, as I mentioned last week, and we'll close with this thought, what was in the middle of the whole thing? The presence of God. Because the tabernacle, which we would have learned about had we gone the rest of the way through Exodus, was where the presence of the Lord is. And God was in the center of the camp. God was the director of the camp. And the entire camp was equally close to him. Wherever we are in the order of march, we still ought to be close to God. And it was his presence that made them what they were. It gave them strength. It allowed them to go forward. Now, I get fascinated by the order of it. I hope you find some interest in that as well. But I think what you're going to see when you and I get to heaven, we're going to look back over our life just like Jacob could now, that he had stepped into eternity. And we're going to see those little twists and turns that we didn't expect. And that was just what God wanted to do. Amen? To prepare us for whatever was coming next. And I think, you know, you get up in the years, you've been through those, and I'm kind of used to it now. But still, I think to myself, well, if I could have it the way I want it, like for thus and so to happen. That's what Jacob thought, wasn't it? If I could have what I wanted, I'd like to marry Rachel on this particular day. I've worked 7 years for that. The right thing to do is for Laban to give me Rachel as a wife. And God says, no, I've got a better plan. It's going to cost you 7 years, but whose years are they? They're God's years, aren't they? And way back in Genesis 29, when Jacob was working for his wives, God's already got this plan, this camp organized and ready to go forward to win victory for him. And they would have won had it not been for what we're going to see later in Numbers, where they wouldn't believe God. Let's trust God with what he does in our life. Amen?